And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The Gospel of Christ. We are going through the Lord's Prayer in this past little while. And we've already completed two sections that we will be visiting together. And today we finally arrive at "Give us this day our daily bread" as a prayer. And quite frankly, this is probably a prayer that no one in this room needs to pray. No one here needs their daily bread. At least from what I can see. You all have the ability to go and get yourself a loaf of bread. You do not need to ask Jesus. You do not need to ask God for bread. So it's very difficult for me as a preacher, as a pastor, to preach on this subject because there is no need for us to practice it. Isn't that right? Is this not true? So maybe I should just sit down now and we'll just have a discussion. But you need your money's worth, so not that you paid admission. But of course we're not going to quit there. But you have to realize that every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, you are praying something that is seemingly completely unnecessary for you. The reality that we live in likely as that you have never had a day where you needed to go hungry. You may have chosen to do so for either health or even spiritual reasons, fasting. But we don't live in that kind of country, in that kind of place where this prayer absolutely needs to be prayed. And so I'd like to turn our thoughts to those who need this prayer. And to recognize our place in our world today. The simple fact that we are living in Vancouver, which in the past two decades or more, have been among the top three cities to live in the entire world, is something to take into consideration. We know, and you might not reflect on this a whole lot, that we are not only in the top 10% of the people who have the most resources in the world, on our planet, but the likelihood is that we are in the top 2%. If you're looking at the CN Tower, there's a lot of people in the concrete base. We're sitting on the antenna. Now you might compare yourself to Bill Gates and, you know, other people like the Sultan of Brunei or something like this. And you say, well, I don't have anything compared to those guys. I don't, you know, it's not like I can have everything I want. But you have everything you need. Or do you? You see, this prayer for us is not really about bread. Because we also know that Jesus, when facing the devil at the temptation, this 40 days in the desert and 40 nights, the devil comes to him and says, why don't you just turn the stones into bread? It's practical. It's what you need. Your daily bread is what you need. But Jesus replies, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What do we really need? to be alive. You see, a lot of us and a lot of our friends and a lot of people in this world have come to the place where they make making bread out of dough. Now you know why they talk about money as dough. Because it makes bread. They make that the most important thing in their life. I've had people say, and I've heard people say to me, and I'm sure you've heard say to you, how much money do you make in the career that you're in? Did you know you could make more if you did this, or that, or the other thing? I know people who make their bread, and I don't mean the physical loaves like Pastor Ed does from time to time, who make their money, but they hate their work. Hate it. Detest it. It kills them. It destroys their soul because that's not what they were designed to do in their heart of hearts. Some people have no choice in our world. But those who do have choice sometimes choose the same destructive path. There are those in our world who have absolutely no choice except to do the work that they do because that will put bread on the table, so to speak. They will feed their families. They are living from hand to mouth. There are little children in villages around the world who will walk to the dirty well that has all kinds of contaminants in it and fill a massive bucket so they can bring it back to their family. While mom and dad works in someone else's field, so they might be able to get enough funds or be given some of the things that their labor allows. And there are those who are orphans. There are those who have absolutely nothing, who live in destitution. They work because they must. They must. And so their prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. Because some of them don't even have work to do. As I've taught the children, we're not here to compare. And so this is not about guilt. This is about facing the reality. So we are neither to feel guilty that we have more, because that in itself is a destructive force. Nor are we to feel superior because we have more. The relationship between those who have and do not have is a very spiritually precarious one. In certain church communities, those who have do not mingle with those who do not. And those who do not never speak to those who do. Because there's a mutual arm's length relationship between the classes. And some are more striated than the ones we are aware of. Those who have must be sensitive to those who do not have. Must be tender-hearted towards them. And I don't mean just in material things. I mean even in relationships. Those who have stable families must be sensitive to those with unstable families. Who come from broken homes, be aware of them. And be tender-hearted towards them. Those who are unmarried at the same time must be mindful of those who are married and realize and extend grace. A lot of these mothers and fathers may have their minds completely occupied a lot of times by the needs of their children. And grace must be given both ways. For those with children, those without, those who have spouses, those without, those who are dating and those who are not, Those who have more and those who have less. Those who own, those who rent. Those who ride the bus, those who drive their own cars. Sensitivity, love, grace. This is our daily bread. When Jesus references daily bread, there is so much that goes on in those simple words. So how are we then to pray? Because this prayer, as I mentioned, is not only about bread. It's about everything else that bread seems to encapsulate in our understanding. Is it the lack of food, water, and shelter that brings us death? Or having those things that give us life? These things sustain our bodies. And yes, there are those who struggle with it, but let me address what we deal with now. We in Vancouver. We who sit perched on the antenna at the top of the world. You know as well as I that inasmuch as we say money makes the world go round, that these things do not sustain a person's mind, heart, or soul. What good is it to gain the whole world, Jesus asks, for you to lose your soul? What good is it to feed your body, but not the rest of you? We become actually spiritual pygmies while our body grows strong or fat. Let me share with you the three things that we absolutely need to be alive. And I would reference the famous passage that we normally hear at weddings in 1 Corinthians 13. Where at the very end of that passage it says these words. When all these other gifts are no longer needed, you know, all the gifts of prophecy, all the gifts of those things that serve to bring the kingdom about, to reveal the kingdom. When the kingdom is completely and fully arrived, what is it that lasts? I've discovered that these are the three things we need today to live. And these are the things that we are to pray for when we say, give us today our daily bread. What we need to live. The first of these things has many names. Each of these things have many names. And the first is this. It is security. Not security in terms of, you know, things that you get at the bank, but true security in your heart. Stability. The sense that you can trust, that you are safe, that you are secure. That who you are will not be torn from you. That the very, you know, deepest part of your heart, there is a stillness. There is a sense of peace. Do you have that? The biblical term for this is faith. Faith. I believe in Jesus. When you say, I believe in Jesus, you are saying, He is my security. I will not face judgment, not because I don't deserve it. I do deserve judgment, but because He has paid the price for me. For all my sin, I make account of it before Jesus. I confess it to Him. But He has taken all my sin and all the punishment for it, so that I am secure in my relationship with Him. The ultimate thing that we are asked to believe in is this, and it is very difficult to believe, that we are loved and accepted completely. That we are loved and accepted completely. This can only come to a person through what Jesus has done. And when we receive Jesus in faith, we find our security. The second thing we need to live is a future, a direction, a purpose in life. There are enough people already populating the planet where, for whom there is absolutely no future. There is a reason why people find this life too much to handle and decide to check out early. They choose to kill themselves. And sadly, as we sometimes hear in the news, they decide to take out everyone else around them. In their frustration, in their hopelessness, in their emptiness, life becomes absolutely absurd. It is nothing more than a circus. Of course, there are those who then preoccupy themselves with hedonism, entertainment, to inoculate themselves against this sense of purposelessness and meaninglessness. They do drink themselves to death every weekend. They do play video games till their eyes pretty much pop out. They do get involved in addictions that will dull the sense of emptiness and meaninglessness in life. The biblical term, the term that God brings to us for this second need that is often unmet in our world and in our hearts and in your friends, in my friends, and perhaps even in ourselves, is hope. A person cannot live without hope. Hope for transformation. Hope for justice. Hope for a better future. A kingdom that will come. And of course it is attached to believing in faith. Faith and hope. Try to live without these things. And you will find a deeper darkness than you have ever known before. But the reality is that you probably know these things because you feel them inside you. There are things that you are insecure in. I guarantee it. I know we all have these things. There are things in us where we struggle to believe and to hope. Whether in our past or even in our present. In relationships that we have lost, or relationships that continue in our lives but seem that they will never change, that there will never be anything more than a source of grief and pain to us. It is difficult to hope for more. And of course, the last one. How can we live without these things? And that is a healthy, growing, intimate relationship that is honest, that is nurturing, where you are received for who you are, and yet truth will be spoken to you tenderly, and not brought down on your head as if this acceptance and this affection will be withdrawn if you do not meet the standards. Jesus calls this love. It is gracious, merciful, and compassionate, but it is also truth-telling. So it does not become some very mishmash, you know, kind of whatever kind of love. There's a lot of that false love going around. Hey, it's okay, do whatever you want. But love sees the truth. And we'll tell you the truth without hurting you purposely. It will hurt. I got a tetanus shot the other day. That wasn't fun for about, you know, a fraction of a second. But it was good. And I received it well. Love is like that. And all of these things, faith, hope, and love, are the things that are spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because it talks about the greatest gifts, the things that we are given. These gifts are given. And that's why we ask. So when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," and so on, when we get to, "Give us this day our daily bread," think about what it is that you really need. I need faith to hold me fast, to steady me in life, so that I might be able to love and be that security also to those who need me, that I be steadfast and not wavering in my relationships, in my commitments. I need hope. I need meaning in my life. I need a purpose that is truly meaningful. Something that I will give my life for. Because unless you have something you're willing to give your life for, perhaps even to say we were willing to die for. It's more difficult to live for, actually. There is no meaning into your life. No passion. No driving force. No affection or love or passion for another person. Why do you do what do you do? If there is no reason to those things. And you might be doing the same thing as someone else. You might be working in the factory, moving the widgets or whatever it is, manufacturing them, inspecting them. It could be a menial job. But beyond that, there is something else. There's a story that goes, a man came to a cathedral and went to three workers to ask exactly what they were doing. He didn't know they were building a cathedral. That was what was going on. He goes to the first man and he says, "What are you doing?" And he says, I'm actually moving this pile of mud and bricks from here to there." The guy goes, "Well, that's not very useful. I'm not sure what you guys are all doing here. You're just moving this pile of bricks." He goes to the next guy. He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm feeding my family by putting these bricks together on this wall." He goes and he says, "That doesn't tell me what's going on here." He goes to the third guy, and this guy's just digging a hole. Nothing but digging a hole. And he asks, "Okay, three times the charm." "So what are you doing here? What are you guys doing?" "So I'm building a cathedral for the glory of God." They're all doing the same kind of work. One of them saw only what was before him. Another saw just the purposes of feeding the family, which is good. A little more. But only the third man knew what was actually going on. God invites us to see with our eyes this hope. What is it that we are doing? When you're in your place of work, or when you're at school, when you are feeding people, when you're making coffee for them, when you're sticking a needle in them, when you're doing surgery in them, when you're doing their accounts, what are you doing? The answer is this. For those of us who believe, we are bringing the kingdom of God into this world. We are bringing the kingdom of God into this world through our words and through our deeds. We are the people of God. And all these smaller things that we do are invested with meaning and purpose. So don't think that just because you have a certain type of work in this season that there is no meaning to it. Every person you meet, the kingdom is coming. That is the gospel. And of course, love. My hope is that you know what it feels like to be embraced by God. I hope you know what it feels like to be embraced by God, to have His love and affection flood through you and into you, and a place of perfect peace. My hope is that you have experienced this before. For you, if you have never experienced that, that perhaps you should go home today or this week, find a quiet place, and begin to pray the simple prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, O Holy Spirit, come. And in the stillness, find that you are deeply not only liked by God, beloved by Him. See, I can tell you this intellectually. You can read about it in the Bible, how Jesus died for your sins. But only the Spirit can bring to you a deep sense of affection. And it's not just an emotional reaction. My hope is that it is something that integrates both what you know and what you feel and how you live. Will you become transformed overnight? I don't know. But will you recognize something that you need? Yes, you will. And these things will change you to the point where you will make a difference in everyone else's life around you. So when you go from this place, learn to pray. Give me today my daily bread. It is what proceeds from the mouth of God. The hope, the faith, and the love. Amen. Let's pray together. I'm just going to take a moment and let you search your own hearts and ask yourself, your true self, if you're able, what do I really need? My hope is that in our lives together that we encourage each other in such a way that what we truly need and what we want will become one and the same. Because a lot of times there are things we want that we do not need. And we do not want what we truly need. So take a moment and search your heart. Father in heaven, I'm going to pray a really audacious, dangerous prayer for everyone here. And that is, give us what we truly need. Give us what we truly need. Each and everyone. In your mercy, in your grace, because you are good. These things we pray in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. The power of His Spirit who attends to us all. Amen.